Breaking news tonight. The terror threat here in Britain raised to its highest level. Fears another attack may be imminent. The military being deployed as ISIS claims responsibility for the concert massacre. A suicide bomber targeting children, seeing pop superstar Ariana Grande, an 8-year-old girl, among 22 dead. Dozens injured. Did the suspect slip through the hands of law enforcement? Soft target stepped up security at home. Concerns about attacks at large events, a monumental task to protect them. Staggering cuts. President Trump proposes major reductions to Medicaid and programs for the poor. Sharp reaction tonight from Democrats and Republicans. And remembering Roger Moore, reaction pouring in to the death of a beloved Bond. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Manchester, England.
To our viewers in the West, good evening from Albert Square in Manchester. Even as candles burn here in honor of the victims of last night's concert attack, this country is bracing to be hit again. Tonight, British Prime Minister Theresa May raising the threat level here in the UK to its highest level, warning another attack may be imminent. 22 people are listed as dead from last night's suicide bomb attack. 59 were injured, the youngest to die just 8 years old. The young pop star, Ariana Grande, an idol to so many young girls and so children and teens, were sadly among the victims.
What started as a fun night for thousands of young people excited to see their pop idol in concert turned into a nightmare for so many innocent families. When it was over, 22 dead, among them 8-year-old Safi Rose Roussos. She was at the show with her mother and sister. They survived. Her school teacher today said Safi was a warm and kind little girl with a creative flair. Also killed, 18-year-old college student Georgina Callender, who had met her idol not long ago. She was studying health and hoped to dedicate her life to caring for people. And 26-year-old John Atkinson, also among the dead. Friends say he was a beautiful soul. Others got lost in the mayhem, sparking this hashtag, Missing in Manchester, where people are searching for loved ones who never showed up after the concert. One of them, 15-year-old Olivia Campbell. She never made it home after the concert.
I need my daughter home.
Her mother, Charlotte, inconsolable, waits by the phone for news.
I'm heartbroken at the moment because I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's alive even yet. Olivia, mummy loves you. Please just phone me and come home, please.
When you heard it, what did it sound like?
It sounded like a gunshot.
Zach Hanef was at the show last night and described to me the pandemonium.
Everyone was like screaming and there was blood. That's when you heard the words like bomb explosion. That's when everyone really started panicking, and that's when it became sort of real.
Today, tributes throughout Europe for the victims. In London, the Queen and members of the royal family held a moment of silence. In Rome, lights were dimmed at the Colosseum. Singer Ariana Grande, back home in Florida today, tweeted, "Broken from the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry. I don't have words." Tonight, Manchester in mourning. Families flocking to this memorial trying to make sense of the tragedy.
Your teacher was there?
Miss Satfield.
A little girl who stopped me in the square wanted to tell me about her teacher who escaped the explosion, and she summoned the words that capture the mood of this wounded city.
I just feel sad for the people who did die and who are sick or ill or have got hurt.
We're all very sad.
Children mourning children here. As officials piece together what happened here last night, we are learning a lot more about the suspected bomber and the device used to kill and maim so many children. Our chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel has late details for us.
Their cries filled the 21,000-seat concert arena, mostly teenage girls screaming in terror when a bomb exploded just after the encore.
We're in arena then. We heard a bang, and I just run for my life.
But escaping wasn't easy. A stampede erupted.
We both looked at each other, and we just jumped, and we just ran.
So you jumped from the balcony
from the
where you were to a lower balcony?
And it was very steep. We just jumped straight off it.
planned for mass casualties.
I grabbed my friend's hand and just ran. But we looked and we could see the bodies on the floor.
At 10:30 p.m., the bomb goes off outside the concert hall. It detonates in an area just outside the security perimeter where vendors are selling T-shirts, just as the fans start passing through on their way home. 3 minutes later, police get their first calls. They rush to the scene and quickly conclude a male suicide bomber used a sophisticated improvised explosive packed with nuts and bolts to do more killing. At 1:30 a.m., nearby, police discover and blow up a suspicious package. It turns out to be a bag of clothing. Into the morning, police cast a dragnet, arresting the bomber's 23-year-old brother, raiding a house, and another believed to be the bomber's home. He's been identified by officials as 22-year-old Salman Abedi, Manchester-born, of Libyan descent. A U.S. intelligence official tells NBC News Abedi likely received training abroad by a terrorist group, but his allegiances are unclear.
Much of the investigation is focused on this neighborhood, just a few miles south of the arena. Police raided an apartment complex, and here a forensic team is digging through trash cans. And this area could be key, because several people from here have traveled to the Middle East to join ISIS.
They're picking for clues. One investigator is seen taking out a book entitled Know Your Chemicals. ISIS claimed responsibility but offered no proof it had any direct role. The UK has long had a problem with radicals. Hundreds have gone to join ISIS in Syria, including several from the bomber's neighborhood. But what this attack will be remembered for is its savage choice of target.
It was full of mothers, children, young, very, very young children there. You know, predominantly that was what the audience was made up of.
Ariana Grande's legions of teenage and preteen fans who went with their parents to see their pop idol and ended up in a nightmare.
A U.S. intelligence official tells me that this bomber was not just some angry person mixing chemicals in his basement. There is a concern that he was part of a cell that still could be planning more attacks. And it's because of that, or at least a large degree because of that, that the U.K. just raised its terror threat level to the highest level.
Very much on edge. Richard, thank you. And President Trump, continuing his overseas trip, was quick to condemn the attack, calling those who carried it out, quote, evil losers. While speaking in Bethlehem, our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, is traveling with the president.
President Trump mourning Manchester's youngest victims, condemning terrorists in language a child could understand.
So many young, beautiful, innocent people living and enjoying their lives murdered by evil losers in life. I won't call them monsters, because they would like that term.
To the president, the attack appears to underscore his message abroad.
Our society can have no tolerance for this continuation of bloodshed.
In Bethlehem, alongside Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, the president linked the fight against terror to Middle East peace.
Peace can never take root in an environment where violence is tolerated, funded, and even rewarded.
But a peace deal won't come easy. With few tangible takeaways today, a visit light on specifics, but heavy on symbolism.
And another symbolic moment tomorrow when President Trump will meet for the first time with Pope Francis at the Vatican here. Despite their differences on immigration and climate change, watch for the Pope to look for areas of agreement with President Trump in what will be a carefully choreographed exchange. Lester?
Hallie Jackson tonight. Thank you, Hallie. And back home, some of the nation's top current and former intelligence officials testified on Capitol Hill today in the ongoing Russia investigation. Among them, former CIA Director John Brennan, who revealed for the first time mounting concerns over possible ties between Russia and the Trump campaign. NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander has more.
With multiple investigations ramping up, former CIA Director John Brennan testifying before a congressional committee.
I felt as though the FBI investigation was certainly well-founded.
For the first time, publicly acknowledging his concerns that Trump campaign associates, wittingly or unwittingly, were cooperating with Russian operatives.
I encountered and am aware of information and intelligence that revealed contacts and interactions between Russian officials and U.S. persons involved in the Trump campaign.
Still, Brennan, who left the CIA in January, says he never saw proof of collusion. The White House pouncing in a statement arguing, despite a year of investigation, there is still no evidence of any collusion. Brennan tonight also detailing how he personally warned the head of Russia's intelligence agency last year about how its, quote, brazen interference would backfire.
I said American voters would be outraged by any Russian attempt to interfere in the election.
Separately, the director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, tonight refusing to confirm or deny whether President Trump pressured him and the head of the National Security Agency to publicly push back on suggestions Mr. Trump's campaign colluded with Russia.
I don't feel it's appropriate to characterize discussions and conversations with the president.
Also tonight, the Senate Intelligence Committee zeroing in on ousted National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, ruling out immunity and threatening to hold him in contempt of Congress if he refuses to turn over subpoenaed documents.
I've said that everything is on the table. That's not our preference today. We would like to hear from General Flynn. We'd like to see his documents.
As for the former CIA chief's assertion that U.S. individuals may not have known they were interacting with Russians, John Brennan said today that's routinely the Russians' M.O., suggesting those Americans being compromised, quote, don't even realize they're on that path until it gets too late. Lester?
Peter Alexander with the White House, thank you. With the president out of the country, his administration today revealed his first budget proposal, a plan that would slash federal spending by $3.6 trillion over 10 years, with deep cuts to Medicaid and assistance programs. Already, the plan is getting pushback from both sides of the aisle. NBC's Casey Hunt has details.
On his campaign's first day,
save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without cuts. Have to do it.
President Trump promised he would protect the safety net. But his first budget, released today, wouldn't do that, instead making deep cuts over the next decade. $72 billion from Social Security disability insurance, and at least $610 billion from Medicaid. The cuts could devastate Americans like Adrian Gunter, who has multiple sclerosis.
My Medicaid coverage takes the burden away from endless medical bills.
The administration's defense.
We're not going to measure compassion by the amount of money that we spend, but by the number of people that we help.
President Trump's $4.1 trillion plan would make good on a series of other promises, including infrastructure, paid parental leave, defense, and border security, including a $1.6 billion down payment for the border wall. President Trump says he can do all that, cut taxes, and still balance the budget in 10 years. But that assumes the economy will grow even faster than it did in the booming 1990s. The plan landed today in Congress with a thud. Some in the GOP echoing the number two Senate Republican leader, John Cornyn, who warned it could be dead on arrival.
Is it dead on arrival?
Yes.
Is this budget dead on arrival?
I don't think I've served in Congress ever where somebody didn't say that about a president's budget.
The president's budget is going to set the contours for Republicans to consider, but at the end of the day, it's the Republicans in Congress who are going to write the heart and guts of this budget.
Casey Hunt, NBC News, the Capitol.
Still ahead here tonight, the fear at home after the attack here in Manchester. What are authorities in the U.S. doing to protect big events and soft targets ahead of this Memorial Day? Also, a new warning, the potential link found between alcohol and a serious health concern for women. Stay with us. The concert venue in Manchester is the epitome of a so-called soft target, where tens of thousands of concertgoers gather, making them prime locations for terrorists wishing to inflict maximum carnage. From shopping malls to outdoor markets, nightclubs to subway stations, anywhere that people congregate is a potential target. And a security nightmare for police as we head into this Memorial Day holiday weekend. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
The list of soft target terror attacks is now so long we forget the datelines. Bus and subway attacks, train attacks, restaurant and concert halls, airports, shopping malls, an outdoor market, a boardwalk, a Florida nightclub, the Boston bombing, San Bernardino, Ohio State, and the list goes on. Today, with U.S. police increasing their visibility in cities across the country, concern about the 32 million people who will attend music festivals this summer. Stepped up security for a concert outside of Chicago tonight and for a U2 concert in Houston tomorrow. While in Boston, police are preparing for this weekend's Boston Calling concert.
I just want the public to realize there's no threats to the city and they should go about their business as usual. But we're going to be on a heightened alert.
In a distressing sign of the times,
and applied pressure directly over the wound,
medical teams are teaching Stop the Bleed courses so everyday Americans nationwide can learn to save lives in a terror attack.
This training can empower someone to intervene on someone who could bleed to death in a matter of minutes, applying pressure, packing a wound, and applying a tourniquet if it's appropriate.
But stopping a determined suicide bomber is a huge challenge. D.C. Police Chief Peter Newsham. How far back do you move a perimeter?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, regardless of how far back you move it, crowds are still going to gather at some point. So it gives somebody who's inclined to create a terrorist incident that opportunity to do it.
Yet again tonight, police insist see something, say something is often the key to preventing an attack. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We're back in a moment with the man who played James Bond longer than any other actor. Fans tonight saying goodbye to Sir Roger Moore. Tonight, reaction is pouring in about the death of a beloved Bond, Sir Roger Moore, best known for playing the famous British spy 007. His family says he passed away after a short battle with cancer at the age of 89. NBC's Ann Thompson looks at his life and legacy.
The word suave was his Bond.
My name is Bond. James Bond.
In seven films, Roger Moore made James Bond debonair and droll.
Can you swim?
A portrayal even he acknowledged was marked by humor more than acting skill.
Would you like me to try it?
His version of the British spy with a license to kill, always compared to the original Bond.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Sean Connery.
Sean, physically, is a much tougher individual than I am. I cannot say I am going to kill you. I mean it.
The dashing persona honed first on the small screen as the Saint, a gentleman thief in the mold of Robin Hood. Bond would not be much of a stretch. So good-looking, one critic said of Moore, he was often prettier than his leading ladies. And while critics didn't love him, the fans did. Moore is the actor who played the secret agent the longest. Off-screen, he worked for years as a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, advocating for children around the world. For his work, Moore was knighted in 2003. Born a London policeman's son, now forever a master spy. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
Women worried about their risk of breast cancer should drink less and exercise more. Global cancer experts recommended today. Just one drink a day on average can raise the risk by at least 5%, and it goes up as women drink more, according to a new report. That doesn't mean that the occasional glass of wine or beer will cause cancer, and light drinking can lower the risk of heart disease, but less is better, according to the experts. When we come back, more from here in Manchester, the heroes who leapt in to help in one of the city's darkest hours. The candles, the flowers, the remembrance is another sign of another city healing from the pain of a terror attack. Prime Minister Theresa May put it this way, that while this place experienced the worst in humanity yesterday, it also saw the best. Everyday people leaping in to hold this place together. More on that from Kelly Kobiea.
Oh my God.
When the dream concert turned to chaos, with children separated from parents running in fear, Paula Robinson was there to help.
There was a lot of children and they were shouting for their dad. Their dads must have been picking them up.
In the city to celebrate her wedding anniversary, instead taking terrified kids under her wing outside a hotel.
I was just shouting for people to make the way there. If you can't find your mom and dad, then sorry. If you can't find your way there, then just make your way with those.
Her Facebook plea telling parents where to find their kids went viral. Dads reuniting with daughters.
And the girls were obviously just shouting, "That's me, Dad."
Taxi driver Mushtaq Ahmed Shaheen found a different way to help. He's Muslim. Horrified by the bombing, he drove families home all night for free.
Money's not everything. Money doesn't matter to me.
people are most important. Their lives are most important to me, you know. I really feel happy.
Across the city, they gave. Hashtag Room for Manchester offering food, a place to sleep. People lining up to donate blood. Tonight, a tweet storm of praise for Paula and all the people like her. Hashtag hero, said one.
I didn't do it as a hero. Please, I feel ridiculous. I didn't. I just did it because that's what I was doing, and maybe I was just shouting it out loud.
They call this tough working-class town the guts and belly of Britain. But tonight, it's shown it's really all heart. Kelly Kobiella, NBC News, Manchester.
And that's going to do it for us on this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night from Manchester.